This week's shir brought to you by the wine glass of Rav Marpei Chemish, the Ili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzchak Rav Chaim. This Shabbos is Erev Purim, reading Parshas Tetzaveh. It's also Parshas Zachar. So we'll begin with something from the Megillah. The end of the third parak, we find Haman receiving the go-ahead from Achashverosh to annihilate the Yidden. Lahashmi, La'arog, La'abed, La'abed is called Yehudi. The beginning of Perek Dalet, right after that, so after the terrible Gzera against all the Yidden, so we find Mordechai sitting, says, Mordechai, Yadas, Kol Asher Nasa, he heard, knew everything was going on, V'yikra Mordechai as Begadav, he ripped his clothing, V'yilbash Sak Ve'efer, wore a sackcloth, ashes, and he went, V'sochayir, V'yizak Zakah Gdola Umara. And he screamed out bitterly. So Esther found out about this, that Mordechai was in mourning because of the Gzera. So she wanted to know, Ladas Mazev al Mazev, meaning she wanted to know what was the cause of this Gzera. Everything's mina shamayim. If there's to be a Gzera against the Yidden, such a terrible thing to wipe out all the Jews, there must be a good reason behind it. So she sent a message with Hasach. And the Ladas Mazev, El Mazev, what's the reason? Why are the Jews Chayef? What's the Gzer all about? So Mordechai sends back with Hasach, Ve'aged lo Mordechai, tells Hasach, as kol asher karahu. So literally whatever happened. However, the Midrash tells us, what did he send with Hasach? He said to Hasach, Lechem Morla, go tell Esther the following. You want to know the reason behind the Gzerah? Ben beno shel karahu ba'alechem. It's the grandson, the ben beno of Karahu, that's Kol Asher Karahu, as it says in the pasuk, the ben beno of Karahu came against you. Shenemar Asher Karcha Bederech, as it says by Amalek, because we read this week, Asher Karcha Bederech. What does this all mean? The ben beno shel Karahu, he's the reason behind it. Asher Karcha Bederech, what's going on? So to understand this, we'll move to a famous Gemara, Maseches Megillah. Daf Yud Beis Samed Aleph. The Gemara, or the Talmidim of Shimon Bar Yochai, asked him the same question. He said, Rebbe, what was the reason why the Jews of that generation, they had this terrible gezer against them? So he told them, you tell me. Guess. You know, you're asking me, what do you think? So the Talmidim answered, and they said, because Mipnesha Nenu Misudaso Shaloso Rasha. Because the Yidden, they were Nana, they took part of the Suda of Achashverosh, you find the beginning of the Megillah. So said back to them, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, he said, fine, that's a good answer for the Yidden in Shushan, because they came to the party. But what about all the other Yidden outside of Shushan? There were also the Gzeros against them as well. So then they said to the Rabbi, good question, so you tell us. So he concluded, he said, because they bowed down to the Tzelem, this image, that's why they were chayef. So the Mefarshim saw in this year in Rav Shalom Shvadron, Zatzal, he asks, Lichura, the Gzera that against the Yidden and Shushan, Lechora was still them. He wasn't arguing with them what they said concerning the Jews of Shushan. And when they said because they went to the party of Achashverosh, that's why they were Chayev. So that he agreed with them. It's just that he questioned them, what about the other Yidden? So on that, he said, okay, they bowed to the Tzel. So it comes out that the Jews of Shushan really were Chayev because they took part in the party. So he asks, why should they be chayev? I mean, what were they chayev? They were chayev their lives, right? The annihilation of Jewish people. Why? Because they went to the party. So he asked, what was so terrible? What did they do? What did they do wrong? First of all, they had to go, Pashtus, because King Achashverosh of, you know, the king of everywhere, tells you, you know, you're invited to his party. You don't say, no, I'm not coming. You don't tell the king, no, it's pikuach nefesh. You have to go to the party. So the fact that they went, some of them weren't chayev, shouldn't be chayev the death penalty for going to the party, when they had to go is pikuach nefesh. They can't say no to the king. Elamai, okay, but maybe they ate treif over there. Says, that also not. As it says in the Pasuk, Kirtzon Ish Ve'ish, and Chazal learned out that whatever anybody wanted in the party, that's what they were given. They like this type of food, that type of food, whatever they want, that's what they were served. So mistaber that the Jews, what did they ask for? A black kosher meal, right? And then kosher wine, it's not Yain Nesek, Mevushal, whatever. Right? Mistaber, Kirtzon Ish Ve'ish, they probably asked for all kosher things. And that's what they were given. So the fact that they attended the party, they're allowed. The fact that they ate kosher meal. So what was their vera? There would be chayiv annihilation. Well, what did they do wrong? So he answers from another drush. It says, we read also in the Megillah, that what did Achashverosh bring out to the party? We even sing it in the Tuna Vecha. Vechelim, Vechelim Shonim. What did he bring? Kelim, Mikane, what are these Kelim? Why are we singing in a sad tune? Because what Kelim were these? These were the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Achashverosh, to adorn the party, he brought the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash to the party. Just think, these holy Kelim that were used to, you know, put the dam in from the animals, sprinkle it on the Mizbeach, these holy, he brought them out and served the drinks in them, whatever, the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Mele says, What should they have done when they saw this? Here they are, coming to the party, they had to go. Fine, kosher meal, everything. But then, Achashverosh brings out these kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's pouring drinks with them, or whatever. What should the Yidden have done? He said they should have fainted right on the spot. The holy kelim of the Beis HaMikdash being used to desecrate, using it at a party like this? They should have fainted. So they didn't faint. Not only didn't faint, what did they do? They enjoyed themselves. Had a good time. Okay, well, we had to come here, so we're here already. Might as well have a good time. You know, you have to eat the good kosher meal. They should have fainted. Instead, they're having a good time. So that was their avera. And not only that, he says, it's actually very meduyak in the Gemara. Because when he asked the Talmidim, why would they chayev, you know, the gezerah against the Yidden, what was their answer? It doesn't say because they came to the party of Achashverosh. It doesn't say because they achlu mishu, because they ate from at the party. No, what does it say? Nen. How can you enjoy eating the suda when you see the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash in front of you? You're so insensitive. So that's why you deserve to be annihilated. That was their avera. Reminds me, I saw a story once. I don't remember. It was many years ago. And so I don't remember where I saw it. I don't remember who was exactly in the story. I don't even remember the details of the story, but the era of the story. And it fits in this idea. So that there was once a Rav that he would say that, even though he was a Talmud Chacham in his own right, but he said, I cannot be compared to the Madrega of my father. My father is such a much higher Madrega than me. And so they asked, why? How do you know this? Why do you say this? He said, I'll give you an example. He says, my father is like the Morada Asra. And one day, I get a knock at the door. I open the door, and I see these couple of the Gabayim from the shul. And they like look like terrible, like white in their face. And they're holding something, you know, bag or whatever. And they're all like, in shock or whatever. So I ask them, what's going on? Is everything okay? He said, they can hardly speak. No, not okay. I said, what's wrong? So they took out out of the bag what they were holding, and they showed me a Sefer Torah that was burnt. So I was shocked. What is this? He said there was just a fire in the shul, and the shul burnt down, and we just the Sefer Torah. This is what was left of it. We were out one on a Shiloh. What should we do? What should we do with the Sefer Torah? So he says, let me get my father. So he said, I went. I got my father. I said, it's a quick emergency. You have to come. So father gets up, he comes to the door, and he sees these, Gabayim holding this Sefer Torah, this burnt Sefer Torah. He says, what happened? Father fainted. On the spot, fainted. He said, I saw that's a difference in Madriga. Okay, I saw the Sefer Torah, okay, I was shocked, burnt Sefer Torah. My father, he fainted. He couldn't take the sight of it. The sensitivity for Kedusha. Also reminds me, I heard it again last week, as I think it was the Brisker Rav, and he was describing in the time when the Arabs were bombing in Jerusalem, and he he says, he will describe the, you know, the situation. He says, the bombs are falling left and right. He says, you have no idea. He says, this fear, he says, pachad, mamash pachad pachadim. You can't step a foot outside. There's a bomb right next to you. You can't imagine what fear that is. What fear put in a person. And then he commented and said, he said, give me an example. You know how scary that is? He said, it's like Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. You know, we hear that, Neil and Yom Kippur, I'm that scared, you know, a bomb, I cannot. He compared the bombs landing right now, such fear like Neil and Yom Kippur, like the fear. So that's a different madriga sensitivity of Kedusha. Once a Talmid of the Chafetz Chaim, he was working he got a job as a Rav in a small community somewhere. So he came once to speak to his Rebbe, his Chafetz Chaim, to discuss things. And Chafetz Chaim asked him, so how are things going? How is how's the level of Shabbos, you know, Shmira Shabbos in your community? So he says, Rebbe, terrible. He says, Mamish, it's no good. People are keeping their job, their stores open on Shabbos, and Mamish Chilul Shabbos left and right. He says, did you try doing something about it? So he said, yeah. Rebbe, I talk left and right, over and over again. Nothing works in one ear, out the other. They don't accept it. As much as I talk to them, it doesn't work. So Chafetz Chaim says, what about chinuch? How's the chinuch going? He goes, oh, Rebbe, chinuch, terrible. He says, they're not sending their kids to Jewish schools anymore. They're sending to the goyish schools. Says, and Nugent, try to do something about it. He says, oh, Rebbe, I talk here and there. Nothing, deaf ears. Nobody listens. He says, oh, Taras Mishpacha, how's that at least? He goes, oh, Rebbe, terrible. He goes, oh, I talk, they don't listen. I talk, they don't listen, Rebbe. So Chafetz Chaim got up and he said to him, listen, you couldn't do anything about Shmir Shabbos. You couldn't do anything about the Chinuch. You couldn't do anything about Taras Mishpacha. He said, but know what you could have done? He said, you could have fainted. He says, you didn't faint. Shows that if it really bothered you, then you would have fainted, and that would have made an impression. Shows that you have this coldness, if you were sensitive to it, says you would have fainted. Which reminds me of another maisa, a little bit more up to date. There was a boy in a school, in the Talmud Torah here, near Yisrael, and the kid was the wildest kid you can imagine. Terrible, causing trouble left and right. Say if there was Arba, you know, was near Baba Kama, Arba Abbas Nazikin, right? He was number five. He was the biggest troublemaker you can imagine. Anyways, it was bad enough that, you know, what the kid was doing himself, but then Mele, he brings in other kids and influences them, so they want to get rid of him, they want to kick him out of the Talmud Torah. But, you know, it's a serious thing, it's dine nefashas, you don't just kick a kid out of the school, it's a serious thing. So they want to get a psak from a reliable, gadol. So the principal and the Rebbe, they went to the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, okay, to get his okay. So they went into him, Shlomo Zalman, they said, told him the story, he's a terrible kid, this guy is influencing the others. So Shlomo Zalman heard, and he said two words. He says, nu, tov. Okay, meaning, that's good. What can you do? Good, what can you do? That's it, you know, okay, you have to get rid of him, No. Okay, so they got the okay from Shlomo Zalman, turned around to leave. Just about to leave the room, though, Shlomo Zalman said, just a second. I'd just like to ask you something. He said, yeah, what? He says, tell me something. He says, did you, speaking to the principal and the teacher, he said, did you say Tehillim for the boy? You know, terrible boy. This, did you say Tehillim for him? So they're like, well, not exactly. He said, let me ask you something. He said, maybe you said Tehillim. Maybe you didn't. It didn't work. He said, did you daven for him in your Shemoneh Esrei? Did you daven for this help that Hashem should help this kid? You know, did you daven for him? Silence, you know. And he says, and even if you did say Tehillim for him, and even if you did daven for him, he said, did you fast? Did you accept on yourself a fast that, you know, that for this boy, that Hashem should have Rachmanis on him and help him or whatever? That was it. turned around, they left, and they didn't kick out the war. So the same idea, you know, if you really feel it really bothers you, oh yeah, kick them out, it really bothered you, you'd daven, you'd fast. Shlomo Zalman Aruch used to say, Agav, so this is Derech Avot, Derech Agav, he used to say, Ein Yeled Ra, Yesh Yeled Shera Lo, which in English, lose a little bit in the translation, but he said, there's no such thing as a bad kid. There's only a kid that has it bad. In other words, something, kid has a bad matzo, so everything's bad. He's not himself bad, it's matzo. Similarly, also Inyan, Rav Shach was approached by an Avreich, and he said, and he complained, he complained about his wife. He said, Rebbe, I don't know what to do, maybe I have to divorce my wife, and that. So Rav Shach said, why, what's going on? He says, oh, my wife's not, she's not sneezing enough, she's not dressing her skirts a little bit too high or whatever, and I tell her over and over again, and she doesn't help. Much as I tell her, again and again, it doesn't help. She just keeps doing what she wants to do, and I don't know, maybe that's it, maybe I should divorce or whatever. So Rav Shach said, listen, he says, you told her again, okay, I believe you. He says, but did you cry? Did you cry to her? Did she see tears coming down your eyes that it bothers you so much? He says, I'm not. Meaning, you're not giving her musa because it really, you know, you're really so sensitive to the Indian of tznias and it hurts you. So he says, you know what? Every woman wants to do the rutzen of her husband. If she saw that you it really, really bothered you and you were crying over it, she would change. I guarantee you she would change. But what? She just hears you saying over what you heard, and the rabbi say, oh, Stias, okay, oh, you have to be it. And just thumb, you know, giving musr that like a parrot. He said, that doesn't make an impression on anybody, and that's why she's not going to do anything. Just if she really felt that you cared, came from the heart, you'd see she'd change. It's a well-known story, I think, of Krohn, also brings it down as one of his svarim around the Muggie's table. And elaborates a little bit on the story. He says there was once a Rav in Miami, and he was giving a yortzeit shir, the yortzeit of the Chafetz Chaim. So he spoke about the life of the Chafetz Chaim, and amongst the thing he says is, I have a story I'd like to share with you, but he says, unfortunately, I don't have the whole story. I just have a missing, you know, a part, but I'll tell you what I know. So he relates that in Radin, Yeshiva in Radin, there was a boy that was caught once smoking on Shabbos. Yeshiva Radin. He was caught red-handed. And they, again, okay, what are we going to do with this boy? We'll probably have to kick him out of the Yeshiva, but of course you have to bring him to Rosh Yeshiva, to Rosh Chafetz Chaim, you know, before we do anything. So they took the boy and they brought him into the Chafetz Chaim. And he went in, was there for a few minutes, left, and from then on, he never is Mechal Shabbos again. So he goes, that's the story. He says, but unfortunately, and he said, I would give my right arm to find out what the Chafetz Chaim told him. I mean, he's been there for a few minutes. What could you have possibly said to him in those few minutes that changed his life, that he would mamash, you never Mechal Shabbos again? He goes, unfortunately, I don't know, but you know, I can't finish the story, but just to tell you, obviously, something was said, and so should the greatness of its time. Okay. So he finished the giving the whole shir, whatever. And then people left the shul, are all leaving. And the Rav after he gave the shir, so he's, you know, about to leave the shul. And he sees one old man still sitting there in the audience. And he's like, this very worried, troubled look on his face. And he's sitting there. So, you know, he felt bad for him. He don't know what's wrong. So the Rav comes up to him, to this old man. He says, well, what's wrong? Is everything okay or whatever? So the man looks up to him and he says, you know that story you told about the boy with the smoking on Shabbos and that? He said, yeah. He says, how do you know that story? So the rabbi said, truth of the matter is, I can't tell you. I heard it from somewhere, I don't know, but I don't even remember the source. I heard it, that's all. He says, well, I want to tell you something. He says, I was the boy. So the rabbi was like shocked. You're the boy? He goes, yeah, that was me. So, you know, he didn't want to come out straight and, you know, and ask him. He's like, well, what did he tell you? What did he tell you when you were inside? But he didn't have to ask him. The man himself volunteered the information. He says, Rabbi, I'll tell you exactly what happened. They caught me smoking on Shabbos, whatever. they said, okay, you have to brought it to the Chafetz Chaim. And he said, I was trembling. Because, you know, the tzaddik, you know, brought into him, and you know, my heart was pumping, and I was so nervous. So they brought me in, and the first thing that hit me was his living conditions. The Chafetz Chaim, you have no idea, and the poverty they lived in. The house was like nothing. It was like, I was shocked. And he says, you have to understand, the Chafetz Chaim, he says, I was a young boy, I was a boy. And even though I was just a young boy, I wasn't yet fully grown, you know, he still, the Chafetz Chaim came up to my shoulders. He was a very short little man. Anyways, so, you know, he knew the reasons why I was brought to him. And you know what he did? He said, he just came up to me, and he grabbed my hand in his hands, he's held my hand, and he closed his eyes, and he didn't say anything, he just closed his eyes, and then, all of a sudden, I saw he opened his eyes, and were full of tears. They're full of tears. And all of a sudden, the tears started rolling down his face, and he just kept saying, Shabbos! The Heiliger Shabbos! The Shabbos! That's all. He says, and one of the tears came down his cheek, fell on my hand, and it felt like a burning sensation, as if there was something burning a hole through my hand. That's how that tear felt. And I remember feeling so terrible that I caused so much sorrow to this tzaddik. You know, that's what was going through. How could I have done this to the tzaddik? Look how hurt he is. He's crying because of what I did. I felt so terrible that I caused him so much sorrow. And sure enough, of course, that was it. You know, after I left that, you know, his home, I never was Mechal Shabbos again to this day. And he was like rubbing his hand. He says, and I still feel, when I think about it, I still feel the tear on my hand to this day, even though it was so many years later. So that's the idea. Someone who's sensitive, you know, then they're mostly, you don't have to say hello. What are you? You didn't scream at the kid, talk, you just cry. But the kid felt his tear, felt it was sincere, that he, you know, unlike the break that, you know, telling his wife off and scream, Rav Shachter, did you cry? If you cry, if you really are sensitive, you felt, that makes a difference. That's how you can change a person. So let's go back a little bit to our Inyan. So Rav Shalom, he says that's the idea over here. That's what was the message that was sent back to Esther. Right? We said, she asked, what was the reason for the Gezerah? So he said the Gezerah was because they were enjoying themselves at the party. It should have hurt them. They should have fainted at the sight of the Kalim. And therefore he said, what was the comment? That ben beno shel karahu ba'aleichem. Meaning, this karahu lashon asher karcha baderech, lashon cold, this coldness. He says the reason of the gezerah was because of the coldness. They're cold. They're insensitive to the seeing the kalim of the base of Migdash. They should have fainted. So that's why the gezerah happened. That's the message that Mordechai sent back to Esther. The Shalom says that he was once in Chutz Laaretz, and he was he saw on the street, he was there one winter, he saw on the street this rabbi. And he looked like a rabbi, you know, was wearing a cylinder hat or whatever. And so he, you know, very politely said from a distance, you know, Shalom Aleichem. No answer. So that's strange. So he goes a little bit closer, and again he says, Shalom Aleichem. Totally ignored. So he says, what kind of a person is this? Don't even answer back, Shalom Aleichem. So he says, finally, I said, I got a little bit closer, and then I realized why he's not answering me. Why? It was a snowman. The kids made a snowman. They put a rabbi's hat on, a rabbi snowman. He said, that's why he didn't answer me. It was a snowman. He says, I learned a lesson in Musar. That if you're cold, like a snowman, so you can talk and talk and talk, and to the person, nothing's going to... If the person's not sensitive, can talk till tomorrow, nothing's going to make an impression. He say that it's a mashal to this. He says, as a body, he says, a doctor comes a body to someone's hurt, whatever, runs up to the body and he touches the body. He says, as long as there's a little bit of warmth there, so then that's a sign that there's hope. So if you touch the body, it's a nice cold body, no hope already, it's too late. Okay, as long as a little bit of warmth, there's always hope. There has to be this warmth of the neshama. There's a warmth and there's hope. So to conclude, tie it into somewhat to the Parsha, after all, it's Parsha Tetzav as well. So the Sfas Emes says the following, so the Rashi brings down the Chazal, that it says, Vayichu Eilecha Hashem en Zayzach Katit Lamor, Laha'alos Ner Tamid. So Chazal say, what does it mean, Laha'alos Ner Tamid, to the lesson of going up? So Rashi says, Madlik Ad Shetehe Shal Heves Oleh Me'aleha. That you have to light, so this is Lamaisa Halacha, that when you're lighting the candle, you have to hold the fire to the wick, until the wick takes hold of the fire and is lit, then you can remove it. That's how we do it when we light Hanukkah candles or whatever. You're supposed to hold the shamish till the wick takes hold, not just touch it and like the kids do, you know, you go tuk 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 and light all the candles. You have to hold it there until the flame goes up and then you go to the next one. So that's what we learn from Lahalos Ner Tamid. That's the pshat. However, the Sfas Emes says, be drush, that it's an remez to a yid. A yid says every yid has this, you know, this Yiddish neshama, that this it's a spark. The spark needs of the a fire of a yid inside of him. But unfortunately, if he's goes away from the Torah or whatever, so the fire is this, it's cooled off, right? It doesn't come out. However, a person puts in his effort and works hard in Torah mitzvahs, that ignites, that gets the fire going until it's ole me'aleh. The melee darshans out, it says in the pasuk, v'ichu eilecha Hashem en zayzach, katit lamor, katit means it's crushed, katit lamor, that a person crushes himself, learns Torah with amo, yegiyah, puts his effort in Torah mitzvahs, katit lamor, then laha'alos ner tamid, then he just, that'll ignite that neshama and spark inside of him until it rises, la'alos ner tamid, as it says by Chazal, la'alos, it goes up by itself, me'aleha, then it rises up automatically. You just have to get it going, get it burning. So that was the vera, we said, of the yidden back in Shushan, this coldness that was really caused by Amalek, Asher Karcha B'derech, as Rashi brings down, it's Lashon Kar, Lashon Kriris, they cooled off the Yidden in the eyes of the other nation, this coldness, that's what the Amalekim put in us. And that was the coldness that we saw in the Yidden that came to the party, and they weren't sensitive to the seeing the Kalim, the base of Migdash, they had this coldness to them. So that's the Masakah in this, we have to, as we said, be Katit, break ourselves on the Torah, mitzvahs, and bring out the fire, the warmth, and sensitivity. We should be sensitive to the Torah and mitzvahs and to all that is good. Mitzvah Hashem, we do so. Hashem should reward us with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, b'mehira b'yameinu.
Amen.